I heard Bradley Carlson's voice over there. Oh, I did. What do you know? And Pam. Man, it's great to see everybody. Thank you, Lily. She told us the story, right? We're here today on this special day because the story she read, we believe it's true and believe it impacts everything we do and everything we will do in the future. And so it's great to be here to celebrate with you the resurrection of our Savior Jesus, the power of God. Today, I don't have a monitor, so I'm going to be kind of looking around to make sure I've not lost myself and that we do leave before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is kind of what, no, that's not what I'm shooting for. Today, we're going to talk about resurrection power, and let's see, oh, that's what it was there. Yeah, okay, you get it, see, I'm not all myself. And we're going to talk about the tomb being empty. That's good news, amen?
Amen?
Yeah. And that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes. And we're in a series, though, that is called In the Beginning, and it's about the book of Genesis. And so we're kind of taking a break, but I can't do that because my mind is not wired that way. So I have to have a connection to the Genesis story, and it's there. You know, in Hebrews 11, the way that the Hebrew writer tells this story of the men and women of faith over all the centuries, he tells the story of Abraham, and he says that Abraham was tested by God, and when Abraham was tested, he was going to go ahead and kill his son because he said, the Bible says that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Now, that's not what happened with Isaac and Abraham, but God can raise the dead. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we're here, right? That's why we're here, because we have a story to tell each other, and we have a hope to celebrate, and we have a purpose, and we have a power. And we're going to talk about today resurrection power. 2 weeks ago on Sunday afternoon, I was with our small group Zoom meeting. We had discussed the reading that we're going through, and we were praying. And Art was praying at the time, and Dad called me on the phone. And my dad said, "Can you come over right now? I need your help." I said, "Sure, what's going on?" He said, "Just come. I'll explain when you get here." My dad's 91 and my mom's 90. And so when I get that call, I'm a little nervous. So I left the Zoom meeting. It's about a 4-minute drive to my parents' house. On the drive to Dad's, I called Steve, Lodge Speech, told him I'd gotten that call, told Steve, "You guys pray for Mom, pray for Dad." So when I arrived at the house, I went inside quickly. I went into the living room. Dad was getting something for Mom, he was in the kitchen, and I couldn't see Mom, but I heard her moaning. And so I walked into the living room, and she was laying in front of the couch. And so I quickly assessed the situation, and it looked like she was not injured. So I walked in, but she was there kind of, again, moaning. I asked her, "Are you hurt?" She says, "No, not really." I said, "What happened?" I fell, and I can't get up because I don't have any strength in my legs or my arms. I just can't move. I can't move. And Dad said, "I tried to get her up, but I couldn't lift her." And he felt helpless as well. So I put my arms around her, under her arms, and I lifted her up onto the couch, and she laid back, and we sat there for a while, and we talked. She could talk. She was coherent, very alert, but was concerned about no energy, had no strength at all. So after quite a while of talking and eating some food, she began to get her energy back, a little strength back, and she walked with some help to the bedroom, got ready for bed, and was looking forward to the next couple of days. And that was Sunday night. 2 days later, in the ICU, she experienced septic shock, and we thought she was gone. Let's pray. God, today, bless us with insight. Bless us to hear your voice today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be in the Word. We're going to examine a prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays that we can experience the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, he uses the word know. Y'all understand me? The word know. But we're going to talk about how that word, K-N-O-W, also really means to experience. I want to read the lyrics of a song written by Jeremy Camp called Same Power. Some of you may have heard this song, read parts of it. This is what we're talking about today. This is what Paul is praying that we will experience. The lyrics go like this. I can walk down this dark and painful road. Hey, wait a minute. How many of us have been on a dark and painful road? Yeah, come on. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. Is that good? Lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks. The same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. Wait, right? Is this us? We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there's nothing that we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Here's how Paul writes it like this, and I'm going to read to you. Paul says he's going to pray, and he hasn't stopped praying. This starts in verse 15, and then he gets down into verse 17. He says, I keep asking, this is his prayer, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, this is what he's praying for you today, that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would know him better. He's going to give you this spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would know God better. Now, when I say, well, the word K-N-O-W, know. This is the word that in the good old King James Version, it talked about Adam and Eve, they knew each other, and what happened when they did is they had a baby named Cain. Okay, so know doesn't mean just like I understand your name. It means, you know, we have an experience together. And this is what Paul says, this is what you want to have this, I want you to experience God better. So I'm going to pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation for that. So, wisdom and revelation. Wisdom being knowledge and understanding that we put into good use. Sometimes we have experienced wisdom and even been wise a little bit, hey? There's wise people in this room. If I was going to come ask some people about how to do something, because they have wisdom, they have knowledge, I mean, and they have experience and they know how to do things. If I was going to try to work that soundboard back there, I have no idea about it, but I believe that Mike has wisdom about that. He has knowledge and understanding, and he knows how to put it to use. Wisdom. Now, what does God want Paul pray this wisdom is for? The wisdom he's praying for is so that we'll know God better. And then revelation. You know what revelations like this is like? I used to think one thing, but it's like I was blind, and then all of a sudden I could see something. Have you ever looked at something over and over and over and then saw, wow, I just now noticed that. It's just kind of a revelation to me, something new that I've always seen, but now I understand it better. Revelation, I see the same thing, but I understand what I'm seeing. Paul's praying that you and me would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can experience God. What? And then he says, he goes on to say this, I'm also going to pray that you're going to know the hope to which he's called you. Yeah? And his incomparably great power for us who believe, the same power that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. He's praying for us to have hope and power. Boom! What is this? And he says, I'm praying for your eyes of your heart to be enlightened. Now, how many of you can touch the eyes of your heart? This is a muscle that's beating, but somewhere else in you, there is this, the eyes of your heart. It's this kind of understanding, it's this kind of feeling, it's this kind of depth of knowledge that I really know. The eyes of your heart are enlightened. Yeah, for what reason? So that I can experience hope. Hope is not just wishing for something good. Hope is an understanding that my future is secure. My future is settled. My hope is good. So, and then there's this power. What is resurrection power? Resurrection power is a couple of things. I'm going to say several different things about it. But one is, it's the power to live life with abundant joy, with abundant peace, with meaning after a loss. How many of you experienced loss? Yeah, friends, family, jobs, health. Resurrection power is the power to experience, to live joyful lives after a loss, because it's a resurrection. You were dead because of that loss. Man, I have felt dead at times because of some disappointment in my life. I felt dead at times because some kind of betrayal in my life. And what resurrection power is, the power to live after those things, after broken dreams or maybe a debilitating injury or illness, to be able to live joy after pain, after sadness. That's resurrection power. Resurrection power. That's resurrection power. I want to read to you a little bit about resurrection power. First of all, before I read from Revelation 21, I want to say something about hope. Paul's also praying that we can experience hope. And I want to say there's two types of hope. But one is, more than that, but there's one, two I want to talk about today. One is that we hope for transformed life. Here's the question. How many of you believe that people can change? See, a lot of people say, no, nobody can change. You can't change. You're eventually always going to be the same person. You're always going to go back to making the same mistakes. What God's saying here, what Paul's praying for, is that you're going to know that, yes, people can change. I've got some habits that are bad habits. I want to have hope that I can change. Paul writes to the Romans that we can be transformed. See, part of our hope is that we can be transformed. We can change from the person we used to be to the person God wants us to be. We can change. That's hope. Another kind of hope is this. This is the hope, woo, that we've sung about already today. We sang Throne Room. Man, I just wanted to go. So here it is, Revelation 21. He says, this is what it's going to be like. He said, I heard a loud voice. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and God will dwell with them. Woo! God's dwelling with us. Have you felt that already today, this morning? God's presence here, right now in us. And it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. There will be no mourning, weeping, no weeping. There will be no crying. There will be no pain. No pain. There will be no pain. For the old order is passed away, and the new is here. Mom was doing pretty well, but Dad, she'd had to go to the hospital because even though she was pretty well on Sunday night after the fall and then Monday all day, Tuesday, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning actually, Dad had to call the ambulance to come get her because she was non-responsive at home. And when she got to the ER, they quickly moved her to the ICU. And in ICU, they began to try and diagnose what was the matter. And they're doing several different procedures on her. And they had her blood pressure had gone way too low, way too low. And so they're giving medicine to raise the blood pressure. And they say, if you can stay, then they took her off the medicine to see if her blood pressure would remain normal. And they said, if you can stay at this level for 6 hours, then maybe you can go home. And for seven hours, she was okay, but she wasn't going to go home till the next day. So I went home to get something to eat, and I was sitting on the couch with Mary Beth. And I was getting ready to go back up to the hospital after we'd finished eating, and at 6:08, my dad called. And Dad said, you need to hurry and come because something really bad is happening to your mom, and all the nurses and doctors are surrounding her. They're doing everything they can to save her life. And so I raced to the hospital, again, about 4 minutes away. It seemed like everything in Abilene is 4 minutes away from my house. And so we raced to the hospital. And as I was walking in, just a few nurses, and there's one nurse named Adam, praise God, that was with her the whole night. And just blessing to her. And he was finishing up the medicines they'd given her. And it's like, okay, if the medicines work, she'll be okay. And if they don't, she won't. And for sepsis, it's about a 50-50 shot. That's what it is, if you're going to live or not. And Mom's 90, so again, the odds are against her. So I walk in, and my dad is on the other side of the bed, and she's turned on her side facing him, and Mom is convulsing. And she has a mask on, and she's breathing, fighting for every breath. And I told my sisters this yesterday, Sally and Becky, and they said, what do you mean convulsing? So she was shaking, only it wasn't shaking, it was like savage shaking. And my mom is brittle and small, and so her eyes were just looking around in fear, not fear of what's next, but fear, what is going on with my body? She couldn't speak, and my dad is on the other side, and he's just gently rubbing her arm and saying, just breathe. Take a deep breath. And she would try, and he said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And this went on while I was there for about 30 minutes. Her temperature was 104.8. And we were ready. And in the words of the throne room, we were running to the throne room. Mom was. Jesus was in that room, though, making it holy ground. And the antibiotics began to work, and she came out. That's resurrection power. But as we stood there, we knew that Mom was going to get through this and live with us a little longer or not. And we want Mom to stay a little longer. But we know the best outcome is when she goes home. And we were ready for that too. standing in that room, calm, wanting mom to come out, and she did. And so I'm calling that resurrection power, and here's what you want. I do too. Resurrection power that we can receive today is this: strength. How many of you need a little dose of strength? I tell you what, my life, my body has changed since November when I had COVID. I don't know about any of the rest of you COVID guys, but my body has not snapped back. I need some strength. Maybe it's because I'm getting older too. I need some energy. I need some endurance. This is what you, even the front row here, needs some of that. Sometimes we need some strength. We need strength that comes from somewhere beyond the food we eat and the exercises we do. We need some God's strength and some of his energy and some of his endurance. And that's what resurrection power provides. But it's also something else. And I don't know where in the world I went on this. Yeah, it's going to go that. Resurrection power, this other prayer Paul prays in Ephesians is in chapter 3. And he says this, that he's praying for us that we will have power to grasp the width and height and length and depth of the love of God. He wants us to have the power to experience the love of God. Resurrection power also provides you guys and me the power to experience the love of God, to receive the love of God, and to give the love of God. Now, some of us are better at giving than receiving. Are you sometimes this person? It's hard for you to receive love. Some of us are. And some of us are hard to give it. But when you experience resurrection power, which we're praying for each other, resurrection power, you have the power to experience God's love. God's love, received and given. So on that night that mom was in the hospital, my mom has 90-year-old skin. And her 90-year-old veins have recessed into her body. It's very difficult for her to receive shots. Shots are okay, but when you have to hit a vein, that's tough. Around midnight, we were there. Dad and I were there. Nurse came in, and mom needed, she was low on certain things that they needed to give her through IV. And we know that's difficult for mom to receive that. But the nurse, Brenda, she went ahead and began to try and hit the vein. And mom was the same every time. When the needle hit, she'd kind of cringe. And then, very intentionally, mom would stare right into the face of the person who's given her the poke and smile. And just smile. And so Brenda poked once and tried to find the vein and pulled it out. And then she poked again. And mom smiled and pulled it out. And then she went to get some help. Seven times. Three nurses in the room, seven times they stuck her. And every time mom cringed and then, overcoming the pain, smiled with her mouth and with her whole face and with her eyes, she smiled. And the nurses were like melted by the smile. Can you imagine? And pretty soon they're putty, like in mom's hands, and they say, "We're so sorry." And mom said, "No, I'm sorry for you. I know this is hard for you." Like, so dad and I were up sitting back, and just both of us are all weepy, you know. The next day, another nurse, Carrie, I'll call her, she comes to do the same. And, oh man, I'm just dreading and praying and dreading and praying. And And she does it right on the first time. And then later that evening, she has to come and do it again. And she told Mom, as she was getting ready to poke her again, she says, I think that first time God just guided that needle. And Mom said, Carrie, God is always with you. He'll guide it again. And boom, she hits it again. So that nurse actually was a little grumpy. We had some great help in the hospital. But she was kind of grumpy at first because, you know what? Me and Dad were rule breakers. And she was a rule follower. And so we were having some clashes, you know, about visiting stuff. But when they took Mom out of the ICU and took her to a regular room, Carrie ran down the hall to hug Mom and Dad. At one point, Dad said, I'm going to make it my point to win her over. And so they talked over and over and over. But when it's time to leave the ICU, you know what this is? This is grasping the love of God. This is experiencing the love of God so that not only can you receive God's love, but you can give God's love. This is the prayer. This is what resurrection power is. The tomb is empty. And it doesn't just mean we're going to go to heaven, which is going to be awesome. But it means also we have resurrection power to love, to hope, to experience joy, even after sorrow. Resurrection power, the tomb is empty. God came and lived and died and was raised. Our Father raised His Son for you and for me, that we can experience life and love right now. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to have a closing thought for us. And then we'll be dismissed for today just from this meeting place, though. Because the love of God is going out with us. Amen? And the resurrection power we receive is going with us. And so we're going to sing, and I'll have a closing thought, but then we're going out. So let's stand and sing.